Can I hear somebody say, praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Today we're going to look on the passage which was read to us from St. Luke chapter 2. St. Luke chapter 2, Sister Shevan read from verse 15 to verse 20. And we are going to look on something there that we never normally look on, but it is there all along. And that is the silent message from the shepherds. The silent message from the shepherds. And that is from St. Luke chapter 2. And the passage which was read is from, was from 15, verse 15 to verse 20. The silent message from the shepherd. That is what we're going to title the thought that we're going to share today. Shepherds are a group of workers, especially in those times where they could be considered the social outcasts of society during their time. They were, for the most part, unlearned. They were poor generally. And they were looked down on as the lower strata of society. To be a shepherd in those days, you are considered to be a nobody. Even though their responsibility is a great one, but they were not the upfront type as far as society is concerned. But we don't know whether or not they owned these sheep, or whether they were hired shepherds. But we are told from the scripture that they were guarding, they were attending to the sheep by night. And it is interesting that this encounter is an encounter in the night. And this Christmas story has a lot of different sides to it. As we go through the scripture, there are different things that we see unfold to us from the scripture. And we need to try our best not to really disregard any area of it, but try to bring every area out so that God Himself be glorified. And look at who God is using here to glorify us. The social outcasts, the poor, the unlearned within their days. The God in all His wisdom, in all of His divine wisdom of Almighty God, still in His high heaven, and He bypassed the universe. He bypassed all the place of learning. And in the middle of the night, He visited the outcasts to establish His one purpose, so that in everything we will see the wisdom of God. Man must never be in a place where, in the scheme and the program of God, he can say, I have helped God. Man must never be in a position. God is not going to give His glory to another. Worship and promise, he that glorieth, let his what? Glory in the Lord. And what we see here is that with a silent message that comes from the scripture source through the shepherd. What is that silent message? What is that silent message? The silent message that comes to us from the scripture, as we see here, is to put God first. To put God first. And I'm appealing to especially the believers, because sometimes if we check ourselves, we have to really ask ourselves for a thing. Is he really first in my life? A stricter. When a drunkard, sometimes we have to stop and think. Is he really first? All men that have been there watching over their sheep, they have left their home, the comfort of their bed, to go out and protect sheep under the canopy of heaven. They have seen the stars, they have seen the moon all night. Maybe they lit a fire somewhere, and for the most part, all they listen to was the popping sound that comes from the different parts of the fire. But they are all there guarding that position that they consider important. The sheep. I'm getting somewhere here. I trust that you're really following me. The sheep has become their primary position. And it is important to them that they hold there all night, guarding the sheep from predators. The wolves, the lion, even human predators too. But no, while this was being done to support, while they were out there, it was not the usual night. It was going to be a night that challenged the inner core of their being. God, in his wisdom, stayed in his high heaven and saw them. You know, when you think about us here this morning, there are many companies that are much bigger than us. They are cathedrals, they are company of 15,000-20,000 people. At different places in this world, in America. And one to think that maybe God is looking at that company over there because it's so vast. And not us. But I have news for you. God looks at a shepherd in the dark. God is on the power of God in the dark. And this is them. And you must have heard the saying that says, the darker the night, the brighter the light. The Bible said the glory of the Lord shone growing about them. And they were so afraid too. But after this king had informed them about the decision of Almighty God in regards to the coming Savior, here is what they decide to do. And this is the basis of what I am saying to us. In verse 15, and it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now even go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. After they were informed about the birth of the Lord Jesus, look at what happened. They came together and had a discussion. Sister Benedict, all the shepherds, every one of them, came together and they had a discussion. At the end of that discussion, they decided what? They weighed the information they have just received against what they were guarding and made a decision to go leave in the sea. Come on, somebody, and guard it, because they consider the news more important now than the sheep, as precious as the sheep were. My Lord, as Christians, have we treated Jesus in this way? Is it an inward law that determines our decision, that determines our thinking? The law of putting God first. They reached consensus in the decision making. Let us now go in unto Bethlehem, leaving the sheep, because they deemed the news of Jesus' birth at this point more important than what they have been guarding all night. My Lord, are we here as Christians governed by an inner law that is embedded in Scripture, which we will go through in a minute? Nothing did not just came about because of circumstances around them, but it is embedded inside of their heart, their mind, that God moves the folks. Yeah. And they went together. They saw together. They glorify together. They spread the news together. And I want to say to all of us this morning here in this church that if we are going to make the kind of headway that we are hoping to make, we will have to do it well. Together. We will have to what? Be on the same page. Amen, somebody. But this can be, we have to be careful here, church. Because if one charge all of us here this morning is God first in your life, perhaps the answer will come, yes, He's first. But I am not in a position to peel back that onion. I'm not in a position to test whether or not it is so. But you know who can? The Lord Jesus Himself. So let us see how we peel back the onion to expose as to whether or not God is really for us. Go with me to Matthew chapter 19. The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then what? All things shall be added unto you. That's what is established in Scripture. But this is the people who didn't technically Jesus address this situation here. Matthew chapter 19, I read from verse 16. Listen to this, church. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? He said unto him, verily. He said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Listen how this young man challenged Jesus. In Jesus' face, listen to how this young man addressed what Jesus had just said when he said, keep the commandments. The young man looked Jesus in the face and said, which one? In other words, he said, you tell me which one I have not kept. He looked at Jesus and said, which one? Which? Meaning, he said to Jesus, I have kept every single one of them. Let's read another scripture. Verse 18, he, the young man, said unto him, which? Jesus said, no, Jesus actually, as a result of him challenging Jesus had to start to spell out the commandment, forcing Jesus now to start to identify the different commandments. So Jesus said unto him, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not be a false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man cut off Jesus. Cut off Jesus. And said, all these that I have kept. You know, I have to go any further. I have kept them all. In Jesus' face, sometimes that's how we feel, that we are doing everything right. Come on, friends. As Christians, we need to realize what is going on here. And listen to this. The young man said unto him, all these have I kept. Verse 20. For my youth of what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and remember this part of it, follow me. And this part is interesting, verse 22. But when the young man heard that, thing. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. You know something? If you read the book of Job, you're going to find something very interesting. Job, the Bible tells us that Job was one of the richest men in his time. He had many possessions, cattle, land, servants, and he had 10 children, and he lost all of them within a day. He lost everything within a day. One servant came after the other to give him the bad news. Everything was wiped out. His 10 children died within a day. And the world was looking at the world, which was represented here by the servants who came with the bad news, was watching to see what the man of God would do. One servant did not finish delivering the bad news until another one came. So the first servant stood there to hear the second bad news. And while he was giving that news, the third one came and he stood there and waited to hear the bad news. And then the fourth one came, all four of them stood there and watched to see what the servant of God was going to do in this case. Oh, we need to go address this man. What did you do? Job fell down on his knees and worshiped. He fell down on his knees and worshiped. The Lord did it. And the Lord take it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Not by saying, naked came I into the world, and naked shall I return. He gave the glory to God. God be first. Hallelujah. Oh, would be reacting. This young man who had many possessions, what he did? What he did? He walked away sorrowfully, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall not hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard this, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But listen to what Peter said. But Jesus beholding them, and said unto them, this, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then said Peter, come on, church. Then said Peter, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all. Note that. We have forsaken all. And you know what's coming from somewhere. Because the word tells us that the first four disciples that Jesus called was Peter and his brother, Andrew, and James and John. And each time Jesus, the first time when Jesus called John and Peter and Andrew, the word said, straight away. And he called them like Peter, straight away, then leave everything and follow Jesus. As he went a little further on the same seashore, the word tells us, he saw John and James, along their father, mending their net, working along with some servants. Jesus called James and John. And immediately the word said, they left their father and followed Jesus. Where am I going with this? Because it's a hard question. When he saw the young man who declared before Jesus, I have kept all of this from my youth. And yet Jesus said, there's something lacking here. When we take a step, we find out that the young man did not keep the first commandment. Based on what Jesus said here. Listen to what Jesus said in verse 29. Everyone that has forsaken us, our brethren, our sister, our father, our mother, our wife, our children, our land, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold. And shall inherit everlasting life. You know why this is important? It is important against the context of this. Somebody came to Jesus, according to Matthew chapter 22. Somebody came to Jesus and asked a question. Listen to what the question said. Matthew 22 verse 36. Master, which is the greatest commandments in the law? Listen to what Jesus answered and said unto him. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments and all the law and the prophets. We realize from this, as Jesus described it, that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all everything. We find that this young man lacked the first command. Because when Jesus said to me, go sell what you have and give it to the poor and follow me, we realize that he did not love the Lord the way he thought he did. Because the Lord was not first. We have a way of giving the Lord a leftover. Don't we are guilty of that sometimes? Go to the supermarket and we purchase something, paying in cash. And the change of and the give manager, we said to the pastor, this is for collection. The leftover. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, no, we are entitled to give him first. So that's why it shouldn't be a choice. If this is so, and we are being tested here as Christians. That's why 10% that the Lord asked us to give. If Jesus is really first, then it should not be a choice. The word tells us in Colossians that in all things he was of the preeminence. He was of the first place. Jesus made mention of the fact that, in fact, Jesus put it stronger in another place. Jesus said, if any man would follow me, he must first hate, listen to that word, he must first hate his father. Come out of the gate. He must first hate his mother. If you're a son of a baby, he must hate his sister. He must hate his brother. He must hate something that is now. Come on, see it. Sister Julie. These are strong language. But it doesn't mean it from the standpoint that you should go and treat your mother, treat your mother, your father. All the Lord is saying that you must love me more than them. The Lord is saying it. Because of course, remember what the word said, you must honor your mother and your father. That's the gate of heaven love. Amen, somebody. So all the Lord is saying here, you must love me more than them. How do I make my family secondary? How do I make my profession secondary? How do I make my money secondary? Because there's a law that is established in our mind. The law of putting God first, which is the first commandment that we need to adhere to as Christians. And my brother, when I look at this silent message coming from the shepherd, I said, this is something outstanding that happened during the time of the incarnation. They leave their possession, Sister Barbara. This is the sheep they have been attending to. They leave the house because of the sheep. They leave a family because of the sheep. But the time came when this which means so much to them, they left because of the sheep. Where are you? Where am I in this section here? Does this inward law apply to us? And sometimes it's difficult, it's challenging to think of it. It's not as easy as you think. Jesus said, we have to leave mother. We have to leave father. We have to leave sister, brother. And we have to come and follow him. He said to the young man, look, if you think that you are so good, and then Jesus peeling back the onion, didn't want to embarrass the young man. Because Jesus knew from the very start that the young man was going to give him the command. So he would have said it to him. But he did not do that. How gentle was he taking Jesus? Let him see himself. Let him expose himself. Let him follow. Go sell what you have and give it to the poor. The poor meaning your neighbor. Because Jesus said, the second commandment is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor like thyself. You know, I heard people, you know, sometimes I heard people say, this house here that I'm living in, is a lot of us. And this is where they're coming from. They sacrifice and they bought the house. And they consider the energy that was given to them and the opportunity to purchase the house comes from the Lord. And the Lord recognizes the go a long way. The Lord, can the Lord get a chance to lay down in here? If it is his house, if it is his house, can he get a chance to lay down in here? And there are many ways that the Lord wants you to do it in there. The least that you have done unto these, you have done it unto me. Can we give the Lord a chance to lay down inside of our house for a brandy? This is my house. Outside of that, then it's your house. And you have a right not to make anybody come in there. But if it's the Lord's house, give him a chance to lay his head in there. It is a challenge to us as Christians. Is God really first? And Peter backed off by saying, we have left all to follow you. What is it that we did do? Jesus was able to mention to Peter that anybody who leaves Moses that land for my sake, they are going to receive a reward that goes way in a greater way. In fact, he said to Peter, you're going to sit with me and throw Judges 12 tribes. So you just hold on there. You leave here, you walk away from your boat, you walk away from your profession, and all of that. But I have not forgotten. I am going to reward you, outstanding. And I'm not saying to nobody in here, please, don't walk away from your job. God has given you a job for you to earn money. And to take care of your family. Don't walk away from your job unless the Lord tells you to do it. The Lord is speaking to a number of people and telling them that they should walk away from what they are doing to come and follow him. But I am not in a position to tell you that, because I am not able to supply the different needs that you have as the Lord does. So listen to the Lord. Listen to that voice. And whatever he said, you will be. The shepherd walk away from their position to come and behold the Lamb of God laying in a manger with Mary, Joseph, and of course some animal around. And they saw it and they were excited. And what did they do? They went abroad and spread the news. They became the first evangelists to spread the news of the birth of Jesus. What we are doing right now is catching up. But the shepherd, the unconscious, the poor, the uneducated, was the first to spread this news among the people of the community. I want to say to all of us this morning, let us examine ourselves to find out whether or not we have really placed God first. It's an inside law, according to Exodus 20 and verse 3, thou shalt have no other God before thee. Is that where we are? And that can be tested as Jesus peels off the onion from with this young man and exposing that he has not really put God first. I trust that this opens our mind to something new. That we will examine ourselves to find out if we really are putting the Lord first. Is he really having preeminence in our life? Therefore, there are decisions that we make which will be influenced by this inner law. Because what? We are putting God first. Bless the Lord. I trust right now that as the shepherd discovered this and speak to us through God's word, we too will find ourselves coming together and making that important decision of putting God what? First in our life. Shall we stand here as we pray? Shall we all stand as we pray? Father, there are things that we cannot fully grasp and we rely on your ability in order to inform us and to make that which is hidden known to us so that Lord God our lives can be different. We are seeing in your word right now, Lord, where priority was set by these shepherds, the outposts you are visiting, and they have left us an example that needs to be followed as Christians. It is a challenging task, Father. When we think about the different areas where you need to be placed first. But God, you said it in your word that we should have no other God before you. Help us to understand that. Help us to understand the far-reaching effect of that, Lord. Which means our very food is secondary. Job said, I esteem your word greater than my necessary food. The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you, Lord. To place you first before our finances. To place you first before our family. To place you first before our profession. Oh God, help us to understand this. Because this is what you seek. This is what you ask of us. Help us to be transformed. To be renewed in the thinking of our mind. Oh God, I look to you this day. And all of us inside of this house will start to think about whether or not we have placed you first. And so serving you will take on a different direction. Serving you will be more enjoyable. Serving you, Lord God, without more purpose, if we apply this inner law by placing you first. We thank you, Lord God, for your word that speaks to us today, that it can help us to understand where you are and what you're thinking, and to know that it is possible for us to be in this position where we indeed demonstrate and place you first. We give you glory, we give you praise, and we give you thanks. And we pray that by the Holy Ghost anointing us, the Holy Ghost leading us, will show us how to do it, Lord, so that you can be glorified. You will indeed get the preeminence. We give you praise and we give you glory for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen.